Every year on this Sunday, the Sunday before going into Lent, we have this same gospel reading. It's the story of the Transfiguration, Jesus taking three of his disciples up to the mountain and being transfigured, changed in front of them. And I want to unpack a little bit what happens in that moment and what it can tell us about Jesus. But first, we get Mark's version this year. You know, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, each of the synoptic gospels has this story. But Luke has it structured in such a way that really drives home an important point. Mark, you know, people say that Mark is a passion narrative with a long prologue. Luke structures his narrative a lot more carefully. And so what happens after the transfiguration is that after he comes down from the mountain, Luke in chapter 9 says, he turned his face to go to Jerusalem. It's like it's crafting the story where Jesus in the first half is wandering around doing his work. After this moment of revelation, he turns his face to go to Jerusalem, to the cross. On Wednesday, we're going to turn our faces to go to Jerusalem. But right now, we're here on the mount where Jesus reveals himself in a new way. Now, the last few times I've preached, I've been preaching on this idea that we read Mark with this constant question of who is this? And each story gives us another opportunity to figure out who he is for us, who he was in reality. Today's story gives us amazing and powerful data to reflect on. In the first instance, it's no mistake that Jesus reveals himself in a burst of light. The power of light and the significance of light was reinforced in the message from 2 Corinthians that we heard Mike read. But I think we know what light means. It means goodness. It means truth. Contrast it with darkness where things are covered. Over and over again in Scripture, things that are not good for us, not good for human beings, take place in darkness, in secret, in covered behind lies. Jesus comes as light, as something that reveals truth, as brightness, as life. John doesn't have the transfiguration, and I think that's in part because the entire gospel is a transfiguration. In the Gospel of John, he says, I am the light of the world, as though he is this burst of light all the time in John. Here in the Synoptic Gospels, we get a burst of that reality. But then he goes back down towards Jerusalem. So in this moment of transfiguration, we learn that he is light. The other thing that we learn is that he is in relationship with two of the greatest figures from the Old Testament. And this is a deeply important thing. We can go too quickly to the symbolic meaning here. It's Moses representing the law and Elijah representing the prophets. But it's quite wonderful to imagine Jesus actually in conversation with those two important figures. Not only because he is the culmination of all of the strand of the law and all of the strand of the prophets, but to imagine him as a human being in conversation with these two great men in that moment. It's quite moving to think of him having conversation with this guy Elijah, whom we just read was taken up to heaven, or Moses, who went up the mountain and received the Ten Commandments and whose face came down glowing from conversation with God, that it's these two figures that he is rooted in. And then finally, God says, this is my son. Listen to him. What's interesting is that something like this happens at the very beginning of the Gospel of Mark. But in the beginning of the Gospel of Mark, God says, you are my son. It is as though now the attention is turned from the relationship between God and Jesus to God, Jesus, and the rest of us. You see, he doesn't say, you are my son. He's saying, this is my son. He is presenting him. He's making it public. Again, the light's now shining in a new way after this moment, this crucial turning moment in the gospel account. So, right now, or up until now, we've been asking this question, who is this? Who do you say that Jesus is? But now, After this moment of transfiguration, where we learn that he is light, that he is in conversation with Moses and Elijah, that this is, in fact, God's Son, we turn to a different question. He comes down from the mountain and turns his face towards Jerusalem. And so now, or at least starting on Wednesday, we shift from the question of who is this to the much deeper, more disturbing question of why did we kill him?